Hello and welcome to the Fit Like a Girl podcast. My name is Jackie Lindahl. I am a mom of two, an avid coffee drinker, and a certified personal trainer. I have been in the fitness industry for nearly 10 years, and I help women get fit, strong, and lose weight without losing their damn minds. If you're looking for help on achieving your health, weight loss, and fitness goals without all the fitness industry confusion and BS, you have come to the right place.
Welcome back to the Fit Like a Girl podcast. My name is Jackie. I am your host, and I am joined again by Ashley Rogers from Level Up Strength and Nutrition. We are doing a part two episode. How are you?
I'm good. I know. I need to start warning people when they ask me to be a guest on their podcast that it is not going to be less than an hour. It's been less than an hour. I was on Jeff Bezos and he was like, there's no way we'll go for 2 hours. I'm like, watch.
I love it. I felt like we were having such a good conversation last week, and it was so unfortunate that we had to jump on another call. Like both of us at the same time had to jump on another call that we had to like, I felt like we had to cut it really short there at the end. So when we were last talking, I believe we were really just kind of getting into the nitty gritty of like nutrition, diet culture, food morale, and stuff like that. So we were just talking about, let's start talking about that again and bring up that conversation. So tell me like your own thoughts on things that you have gone through in your own journey in regards to food morale, coaching clients with it, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I find it's one of the hardest things to coach, right? Like anyone, not discounting nutrition coaches of any kind, but like you can go online and give anybody calories and macros, right? There are calculators for that.
Okay? Agreed.
And yes, for a person who has a very healthy relationship with food already, it's just data, right? Like I'm at a point in my life now where I have healed my relationship with food. It's taken decades. My coach can give me macros and calories, and it is just data. That's not the women that I work with, right? The women that I work with that come to me for my Strong as a Mother method, which is the name of my signature program. Week one, all we're talking about is how you feel about food and how you talk about food.
I love that.
Because the way that you talk about things and about yourself becomes your reality.
Yes, 100%.
When you say, I'm not smart, right? Your brain believes you're not smart.
Yes.
My entire educational career up until college told myself I was bad at math. I don't know where I got this from at some point, right? So I like literally couldn't do math. And then I got to college and was taught a different way of doing math. And I was like, oh, I'm really good at math.
Yeah. And it just clicked with you. Yeah.
I'm like, no, I was never bad at math. I was just never taught the right way and reassured and told that I was good at it, right? Yeah. So what I work on with my clients during that first week is food and morality, and how as a culture, we assign morality to food.
Yes.
And then assign that morality to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we talk about good food and bad food.
Yes. And your behaviors around food as I was good or I was bad.
Yeah. Like, oh, I was so bad last night. Do you know what I had for dinner last night? I had a cupcake last night for dinner. It was a giant coconut meringue cupcake. It was delicious.
Oh, and that's so good.
Every single bite, I feel zero guilt about it. Because I hit my protein. There should be no because, right? But like,
yes. Overall, it was just good.
Overall, I eat well. Yes. Right. I'm not saying food choices don't matter. That's important. But a cupcake isn't bad.
Yes, exactly.
And it was delicious. It made me happy.
Right. And sometimes that is. And sometimes like, I think a lot of people forget, you know, there's the whole food is fuel crowd where like food is just fuel. Me too. Because it's like, okay, first of all, I'm not a fucking car. Like,
yeah.
I was like, Jordan Syatt posted that meme. It was like, I'm not a fucking car. I'm a human. But it's also like food is fun. Food is culture. Food is family. Food is comfort sometimes, like all these things. It's not just fuel. Yes, it does fuel our body, but it also does so much more.
Yeah. Now, when we get onto a certain level of athleticism, like, yes, like, you know, there is an aspect of food being fuel. Like, you do, like, I used to be a marathon runner, right? Like, yes, there was fuel that was needed. I was a literal car at that point. But I also was not very healthy at that point in my life. So that first week I really dive into my clients, the language that they use around food. So instead of saying like, oh, my husband and I are going to be bad tonight and go out and have sushi. And I'm like, listen, I don't know what this podcast is rated, but if you are talking about you and your husband being bad, it better be something naughty in bed. And not
exactly.
Because
yes,
bad. You're not sneaking around. Like, you know, like you're going out and you can go out and still make choices that fit within your goals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although for me, once they put the chips and queso down, like everything goes out the window.
Everything's out the window. So, I'm like that with the bread at either Olive Garden or like Eastside Mario. As soon as you bring me the bread,
they just keep bringing it out.
I will down loaves of that fucking bread.
And you're like, I'm actually not really hungry anymore.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah. But. So we talk about food being good and bad, and there will be those that argue, and I have this argument with other coaches too, of like, well, of course there's like foods that are bad. I'm like, well,
how?
Not really. Like, you know, like I have done this before where I put just the calories and macros for two things up, and I'm like, which one is the good food and which one's the bad?
Ooh, I love that as a content
idea. One's an avocado.
Yes.
And one is an ice cream bar.
I love that.
The ice cream bar has actually less calories and more protein in it.
Yeah.
The avocado has more calories and more fat.
Yeah.
People every time choose the ice cream bar as the good food.
Yeah, because it's lower calorie or whatever it might be.
And the protein.
Yeah. Right?
When everything has something to offer. The cupcake that I ate last night, right? Like, I was having a carb crash. Like, I hadn't had that many carbs just because I like to eat more high-fat foods. It's just what I enjoy.
Personal preference.
And I was like, I have been playing on my hoop for hours and I need some carbs. And there was this giant ass cupcake. And I was like, that is my dinner. Yes.
100%.
Sat out by the pool and just ate my cupcake because in Florida, it's already pool weather. I am sorry, Canada.
I have a puddle in my backyard from snow melting. Does that count?
And pool weather. Like, we have winter for a week in January and that's about it. But then the big issue becomes when we start assigning morality to ourselves based off of our food choices.
Yes.
So again, the like, I could sit here and be like, oh my God, Jackie, I was so bad. I ate a cupcake for dinner last night.
Yeah. But what was bad about, like, why is that bad? Yes.
Because society tells me that cupcakes are high in sugar and it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like, I very much live by the 80-20 rule in all things in my life, really. Like, but when it comes to food, like, I believe 80% of your nutritional intake should come from whole, minimally processed foods. 20% should be whatever the fuck you want.
Agreed.
But you're not
1,000%. Yes. Yes, of course.
Alcohol is kind of different. When I'm talking about food, I'm not really bringing alcohol into the equation. I'm not saying don't drink, but there's really no benefit to drinking.
Yeah. Alcohol. It's one of those things that, like, I mean, I don't really drink at all anymore. All but cut out alcohol from my life. But like, I mean, I have clients who like drink wine on the regular and it's like, okay, like, you know, whatever, if it's not stalling your progress and you can fit it into your life in a healthy manner, whatever, fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have these, and it just goes so deep into becoming part of who we are, right? Like mm-hmm. when you start saying things like "I'm bad," like that's devastating.
Yeah, especially when we're referring it to based on something that you ate.
Like, who fucking cares, right? Like, am I morally bad because I had a cupcake and not a salad for dinner? Because I could argue I can make a salad that has a lot more calories in it than
a fucking cupcake. Yeah.
Like a real good spicy buffalo chicken with blue cheese dressing salad that's going to top that cupcake.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we need to restructure how we talk about food. We need to restructure how we talk about ourselves. And part of that first like 3 weeks in my program too is every day they have to send me a compliment about themselves.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
And it's hard.
I bet.
Because as women, as little girls, we were told like, don't brag, be humble, like, you know, we can't talk about being prettier. We can't talk about being smart because then you're bragging, right?
Yeah.
There's a line, of course, but there's nothing wrong with loving things about yourself.
Yes.
And it's
yes.
really interesting to watch over those 3 weeks. Like the first day, it takes them forever to come up with a compliment about themselves.
I bet.
I have
they don't. They're so used to bashing themselves.
My favorite one, and you will appreciate this, was I'm proud of myself for not over plucking my eyebrows in the early 2000s.
I love that so much.
So that I now have eyebrows.
I love that. I love that so much.
I don't care what the compliment is. You compliment. Yeah. And it's interesting to watch over time how it goes from that, or like I have nice eyelashes, or like you know, just very superficial like things to like I'm an amazing friend, like I show up for people, I listen, or like you know, people will be like, I have a banging ass. I'm like, yes, yeah. Thank you.
Yes, yes, I love these things. Yes,
like be okay with that. Be okay telling people you have a banging ass.
Yeah.
There's nothing you work for it. You pay for it and you work for it.
Like, right? Exactly. Yeah.
You can't
I love that
take
so
muscle.
Much.
And I think John Goodman talks about that is like you can't fake strength and muscle, yeah. right? Like be yeah. proud of it.
Yeah. It takes the amount of work and hours and months it takes for that. Like you should be proud of it because that screams like dedication. You've been consistent. Oh. You've been working. Yeah. You can't fake it.
And I'm going through it all over again and getting back into the aerial hoop because I'm not exactly at beginner status, but like I'm relearning everything and there's no faking it. Right. Like I've posted my blooper video.
Yeah.
Fallen many, many times.
Right.
But it's the same with nutrition, right? Like you're going to fall. But there's really no failing. Unless you just decide you're never going to care about your nutrition ever again in your life.
Yeah. And I think that's the most important thing that a lot of people get in their heads about it is they attribute eating quote unquote bad as I failed. And it's so fucking backwards. Like, it's like, how is having a cupcake for dinner failure? Like, what is this school? Is this
mess?
Right? Like, is that like, this isn't fucking school.
As someone with a former eating disorder, I had a cupcake for dinner and gave zero shits about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's just my hope and goal for everyone. And again, it's going to be goal dependent. Right? Like, I don't want to be shredded. I have no desire to live the lifestyle that it takes to get and maintain that like shredded look.
Yes. Yes.
Especially as a woman.
Yes. Right? I tried it.
I'm not saying it's Yeah, I'm not saying it's easy for men to do, but like as women, it is harder for us to get down to those lower percentages of body fat. And you know what? Like if you're training for a bikini competition, you can't have a cupcake for dinner.
Nope.
While you're training for it, right? Like during that period of time.
Yeah.
So it's goal dependent, but with the women that I work with, it is very much like we need to do some major brain rewiring in here. Mm-hmm. Because, and I've used this term a lot, and we'll kind of roll into this part of how I grew up. Like we grew up in the 90s of the term heroin chic.
Yeah,
I'm bringing that word back. I brought it back on Jeff's podcast. I'm bringing it to yours just so that everybody can cringe and we can remind everyone we don't want to go there again.
What was it, Kate Moss, that said that like nothing tastes as good as skinny feels? Ugh, so cringy.
I can tell
I'm
you
sure she cringes at it.
Tastes better.
I can name, yeah, like many things. Like my protein shake that doesn't taste that great tastes better than skinny.
Yeah. Because my goal is not to be skinny, right? Like I want to be strong.
Yeah.
And the 90s really fucked us up.
90s and early 2000s, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it was very much the age also of the Victoria's Secret model.
Yeah.
And so the standard of beauty for what we saw was very tall, very thin, long limb, like willowy frame. So here I am. I'm not tall. I'm like 5'3", right? So like just like a little bit below average. I'm not naturally that like long limbed, like willowy. So then I sit there and I'm like, well, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
And muscle just wasn't shown.
Not at all. It was like, if you had muscle, you were, yeah, exactly. Not as a positive thing. You were manly.
You're manly, you're bulky, you're this. And so for me growing up, it was just like, okay, so I'm not beautiful. I'm not attractive. And if I want to be those things, I can't fix my height, right? But I can be thinner. Mm-hmm. I can get skinnier. And, you know, that was the eating disorder spiral for me.
And what age did that start for you?
I think my freshman year of high school.
So young. So you would have been like, what, 14, 15?
Mm-hmm. Because up until then, I was very, very active. I was a gymnast, a competitive cheerleader. Like, I never had to think about what I was eating. And then we moved to Japan. I'm military family.
Okay.
And those sports weren't an option there. So then I wasn't moving my body as much. It was gaining a lot of weight and I felt like I was no longer in control, right? Because I think we talked about this last time too, is that weight and food intake and exercise is a form of control.
Yes. Yes, we did.
Or a perceived form of control. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was when the negative relationship with food started. And you know, having a parent, one, my father was in the military. Everybody was super fit. He was a fighter pilot. Think Top Gun.
Yep. Yeah.
Everybody was super fit. And then my mom as a personal trainer who is very tall, mm-hmm. All my siblings are tall. I don't know.
What happened here?
Very blonde.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing that represented in my family too. And I'm like, what's wrong with me?
Right.
And instead of hearing like, hey, there's nothing wrong with you. Like you put on muscle easier. Because again, that was not looked at as a good thing. Now I'm like, I can't put on muscle.
It's a great thing. Like, yeah. It's
great as being a woman. Because so many women struggle just putting on any kind of muscle. You know, just And at that age, not having knowledge about nutrition.
Right. No knowledge other than what you see in
Other than
magazines.
what my mom is a personal trainer, who
Right.
everything at that time was low fat. Carbs weren't the enemy at the time. It was
Yeah.
fat, right?
Yeah.
So for me, it was a lot of cycles of binging and then not eating.
Oh,
I
okay.
would binge, I would hate myself for eating so much, and then I would basically starve myself
As a reaction to
as
that
a
binge?
reaction to that. As
Right.
a, I was out of control, and now I'm going to regain my control.
Yeah. And what happened with these binges? Like, was this in secret? Was this like stashing food? What did that look like?
No, it was usually like going. So, Japanese culture is very different. Like, it's very safe there. Like, at 14, 15, 16, we were going wherever we wanted, like, as teenagers, right? So, like, going to the sushi go round and like just eating as much as we wanted, right? Like, our parents were like, please just go somewhere.
Right.
Right? Take the trains anywhere you want. We don't care. It wasn't in secret, a lot of it was social.
Okay.
But when I was at home and eating a lot, that was secretive because I felt like there would be judgment from
Your family.
my family.
Yeah. That's really hard as a teenager, feeling like you have to hide that and like you're going to be judged by your family for that.
And the reality now, like looking back, is I wasn't going to be judged, but perception is reality, right?
Yeah,
Going
it
back to
wasn't.
that, what you tell yourself becomes your reality, right?
Yeah.
Well, my mom calls herself fat all the time, right? And she's not. I'm bigger than my mom, so that must mean I'm fat, right?
Yeah.
Just the words that we use are so important.
And how it ties in so
Oh.
much to our kids and what they hear, like nonchalant comments that we would make about ourselves. They hear that shit and then they internalize it just like you did
Yeah.
and project that on themselves.
Yeah. And I think I do a very good job as a parent. Nobody's perfect,
Of course.
but talking about, we just don't really talk about bodies in general, like the way bodies look, right? Like,
Yeah,
we talk
yeah.
about bodies, we talk about what our bodies can do, like how
Yeah.
powerful our bodies are, how strong we are, like when we are calorie counting. Because for me, when I'm bulking, I do have to calorie count. I just don't naturally have like to eat that much. I have to track it.
Bulking is ridiculously hard. People don't
It's
think it
so
is, but it is.
hard. It's so
Because
hard.
you're going against your body's like intuition, being like,
Yeah.
no, you're full.
What we taught ourselves as women for so long, stuck in weight loss cycles, right? So
Yes.
then again, thinking like full is bad. Now you're asking yourself to push a little bit beyond full, right?
Yeah.
So bulking is really hard. But when I am tracking stuff, I talk about it with my kids and I let them know, like, oh, I'm tracking the energy in my food so that I have the energy to lift weights
Yeah.
and to be more powerful and to be stronger. Because they know that calories are energy, like, we just use that
Yeah.
term
That's how I
interchangeably.
refer to it with my kids too, is
Yeah.
like my 4-year-old knows that food has energy in it,
Yeah.
and this is how we get energy to play. Yeah.
Yeah. Like my 7-year-old a couple years ago brought me a bag of chips and she was like, this has 250 energy. I was like,
I love
no,
that. That's super cute.
you're scientifically correct because that is what a calorie is. It's a unit of energy. I will not bore you with thermodynamics on your podcast, but
That's okay. I've probably bored my audience enough with thermodynamics that they probably are like, okay, we get
love the
it.
science nerd. My dad's a physicist. My brother is an astrophysicist. So we have a lot of science in our family.
That's
The
awesome.
physics gene, it didn't like skip me completely, but it just kind of like bopped me on the head and was like, you get a little
Oh,
bit.
It 1000% skipped me. I didn't even bother with physics in high school. Didn't even bother. And look, the knowledge of physics and seeing what, the experiments and stuff like that, it's super cool. But when I saw physics in high school, I was one that, like you, I struggled a lot with math. Math was very hard for me. That I didn't even fuck with physics. I was like, I just gotta get
I'm
through
making you
math.
shirt.
I can't even with physics right now.
I show my love by making people shirts. Your shirt's gonna say, "I don't fuck with physics."
Thank you. I love that so much. That's super funny.
Oh, and then in parentheses, but the laws still apply.
They do. Yes. I think Lane Norton, he has a shirt that he'll wear sometimes on
I
his
love Lane
YouTube
Norton.
videos, like facts over feelings. I'm like, yes, I love
I
it.
met him. He actually came to my university and
He
did
seems
a
like the coolest
this.
human being. I want to meet him so bad.
Do you know Mike Zordos, Dr. Zordos?
I've heard his name. I don't think I follow any of his content.
Well, he's not really on social media, but he is the
Okay.
person who came up with the concept of daily undulating periodization. He's like a big like he was
Okay, that's where I've
actually
definitely heard his name. Yeah,
he
okay.
was my TA for exercise physiology at Florida
Cool.
State. So I was lucky to have some cool people who don't remember me, but I remember them.
Fair,
Fair
fair.
enough. Where were we? We were talking about the laws of thermodynamics.
But it still applies, but
They
it
still,
doesn't apply. I guess one thing that we
Oh,
could add
but
here is
calories are energy and how we talked about
yes, thank you.
the tangents. Yeah.
That's all right.
But they're always watching. And
Yes,
they're
they are.
always listening.
Yes, and they will repeat
And
everything you say, good and bad, to their
Yeah,
daycare teachers.
and you have to accept that while your home is a semi-controlled environment, they're going to get it other places. They're going to hear it. So you have
100%.
to have those open conversations with them that I didn't get as a child, right? Of people might tell you, you're going to look like a man if you do. I don't know how
Yeah.
many people have told me, if you keep lifting weights the way you do, you're going to look like a man. I'm like, I've been lifting weights for years.
I know, I've lost count, honestly.
Sure, my boobs are gone, but that's not really from lifting weights. That's because three kids and the weight loss.
I was
But
gonna say mine weren't there to begin with. I had a brief period of time when I was breastfeeding. I'm like, this is what they're talking about. This is what boobs are. And then as soon as I stopped breastfeeding, gone into the abyss. I'm like, come back, come
until
back.
yeah, green frozen in. And I'll warn my weight loss clients too. I'm like, just so you know, those are the first things that are gonna go.
Yep.
Sorry,
Yep.
but we're gonna build a butt. So,
There you go. There you go.
but they're speaking of butt, but they're gonna get it from other places, and we just need to equip them, just like with anything in life,
Of course.
with how to deal with that internally and how to respond to stupid people.
Yes, because people are always gonna say shit. Always gonna say stuff.
Especially in Florida. I mean, we have some stupid people in Florida.
The stereotypes of every bad news article
It's
starting with a
Florida
man
man.
from Florida is true.
Man tries to ride alligator while eating pizza. Yeah, no, it's real. I tagged you in the gator.
That's funny. I mean, I can't talk because I live in a province in Canada that is like considered the Texas of Canada. So I mean, I can't really talk,
Hey.
but
Step up from Florida. But we live in Disney World, okay? You can see the fireworks from our backyard. We literally live in the Starbucks that I go to is the one that all the Disney cast members hit before
That's
going to
awesome.
work. So it's like Disney, like we just live in Disney. We live in a Disney bubble. Not
Yeah, totally.
Florida man, Florida.
But
But
the stereotypes are
I
there.
went to school in Tallahassee, and that is Florida man, even though it's the capital of Florida. Never mind.
That's
That's
funny.
not what we're here to talk about.
I could be a separate podcast.
I'm not Florida man. Don't judge me.
Don't judge me.
But I do say hi to the gators when I go on a walk every day.
That's
So
still insane to me. That's
well, that's
absolutely
in
fucking insane.
It's like, you know, you've seen Beauty and the Beast, right?
Yes, of
When she
course.
sings her like little town, it's a quiet
Yeah.
village. I'm just like, hi, Gators. Like, the Disney
Just
princess, like,
fucking blows my mind.
there goes the Gators by the pond, like always. Yeah, that's what it's like here.
That's insane to me. We get like, well, I guess like where it all depends on where you live within Alberta. Like, definitely we do have bears and cougars and that kind of stuff, but
Yeah,
like,
those.
not right where I live.
No, we have a bear in our neighborhood that upends trash cans.
Yeah,
And then
like
on
year
the
round.
Facebook, they're just like, oh, the bear went through the trash cans again last
Yeah,
year. It's like,
yeah.
welcome to
Like, we did get a couple of moose run through my horse field the other day, and my horses were like
Florida. You don't
gone. They like took off literally to the very far corner of our property and stood there for an hour and would not go back until the moose were
I
gone.
heard a saying the other day that like Florida is the Australia of America, that
I
like
totally would get that,
everything
yes.
wants to kill you here. Like
Yeah.
there are signs all throughout my neighborhood right now that say they're bright red and they say caution, nesting hawk season, because
Yeah.
hawks will literally swoop down and attack your hen. Like
That's
people are
insane.
walking with bike helmets on.
That's crazy to me. Like, we do have hawks here, but like, I'm worried about them eating my chickens. I'm not worried about them like attacking my
No,
kids.
I'm worrying about them eating my corgi. Like they're gonna just straight up like lift my dog away. Like,
Oh, that's super funny. My
girl,
dog's too stupid.
no, my dog's not fair. My dog would be like, yes, take me, please. So yeah, the language that we use is very important because, again, we talked about those negative core beliefs on the last podcast, and the language that we use and the what we show in front of our kids is what forms their negative core beliefs. No pressure, parents. Right?
Right.
Like, because life's not hard enough. You know, the negative core belief that I'm more lovable if I'm thinner, or I'm a better person if I eat healthier food. What's another big one is I will be happier if I can
Yes.
fit
If
into
I'm a
my pre-baby clothes.
I'll finally love myself if I just lose 5 more pounds.
I
Yes.
could
How
lose
many
5 pounds
times have you heard that?
and nobody would notice.
Exactly. Yes. Or if I get to
Nobody
this,
would notice.
yeah, if I get to this arbitrary weight that I have in my mind on the scale because that's what I weighed when I was in high school, I'll finally be happy again. It's like, oh, that's just not how it works.
Well, and
It's
talking
literally not
back
how
to
it
like
works.
weight and happiness, like at my most unhappy moments in life is when I've been my thinnest
Yeah.
and like major medical issues going on. And I
Yeah.
think we touched on this a little bit last week.
Yes. Yeah.
I had a gallbladder problem. It took them 6 months to diagnose. I ate nothing but goldfish. I shit you not, nothing but goldfish for 6 months. All I could stomach. Like it was
I don't doubt it.
going to send me into this like horrifying pain. And I lost so much weight. I think I weighed 100 pounds.
Oh, that's so tiny.
So tiny. But you know what I heard from everybody?
You look
Look at
so
weight.
great.
What are you doing? Oh, I'm not eating. I'm
Whoa.
literally anorexic, like medically anorexic.
Yeah.
I'm in severe pain. I have vitamin and mineral deficiencies because
Yeah.
all I'm eating is goldfish, like a freaking toddler. And like to be fair, my toddler probably eats more calories than I do in a day. I bet he eats like 3,000 calories. But it's damaging.
Is. And this is ties into like such an important topic of commenting on people's bodies and then also just automatically going to complementing weight loss without really understanding what led to that weight loss.
Well, and think about how we complement boys and girls as children.
Yes.
You know, my brother always got, you're so smart.
Yeah.
You're a leader.
Yeah.
Where I was bossy.
Yes.
The same behavior, but I was being bossy. He was a leader and he was assertive.
Yeah.
you're physically strong, like you're great at sports, you're this, this, and this. Ashley, you look so pretty in that dress.
Yeah.
Ashley, like, I was a tomboy too, though. Like my parents could not brush my hair until I was like 10. They're
same.
Like, oh, you brushed your hair. Like, look how pretty you are now. Okay, so like my self-worth is tied to my hair?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, on the alternate side, I know that fucks up men too, right? Like, okay,
yes,
so my self-worth is tied to my physical strength.
Yes, yes. I have to look a certain way. I have to act a certain way as a man. Can't show emotions. Like, definitely. There because is
the body image side. Let me tell you, name one superhero.
Yeah.
Who's not chiseled as fuck.
Exactly. Yeah.
But we have portrayals of women who are beautiful and curvy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, and the whole, it's all fucked on both sides.
It's all fucked.
It's
all
fucked. It's just all fucked.
It's just, and so I'm here, and I know you are too, to just unfuck it.
Yes. Yes.
But it's a lot of mental rewiring. It takes a long time. It takes totally. A long time. And when you look at those negative core beliefs, and when you think about where they came from, and you think about how many years you have been carrying those with you, you cannot expect that to change in a day.
A yes. Week,
a month. Like, we're talking, this is years of work.
It is. It is.
And I tell this to my clients. I'm like, if you really want to mentally change this, if you don't want to just look good on the beach this summer, which there's nothing wrong with wanting to look good on the beach this summer. I want to look good on the beach. But if you want to change your brain, we're going to be working together for a long time.
Yeah. Yes.
100%. And you probably also want to see a therapist at the same time.
Very important. Very important.
Especially if you've had previous eating disorders.
100%.
Because that, I think there's some deep-seated issues there that cause those eating disorders that need to be worked through in therapy as well.
100%. Yes. And we are not therapists. Scope of practice.
We are not therapists. I know you want to tell us all. Of
right? Story. Contrary to how we feel some days, we're actually not therapists.
We love talking to you. We love hearing about your life and all of your issues, but... And I'm always too just like, I am not a doctor. Like,
yes, yes, 100%. I'm not a doctor. You should probably go talk to your doctor about that.
You should talk to I'm going to let you know what has worked for me.
Yeah.
But please go talk to your doctor.
Well, I wanted to talk about how you, I guess, touch on with your coaching with clients and stuff, how you have them come over their own self-limiting beliefs, whether it's related to their own fitness journey, whether it's related to their nutrition, how they feel about themselves, their weight, etc., while also helping them with their goals that may or may not be weight loss related or having to do with how they look. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So it all starts with, you know, the first time that I talk with somebody on the phone or in person. Most of my clients live within like 3 miles of me, even though I'm a virtual coach. I'm very community centered. Yeah. I have an amazing micro local community here. And those initial discussions are so important because that's where you have to nail down the real why, right? You know this. You're a you keep saying you want to lose 10 pounds, but why?
Yeah.
Why do you want to lose 10 pounds?
Yeah.
Right? Just like when I told you on the last podcast during my first conversation with Shane, well, what do you want to do? Why do you want to fix your back?
Yeah.
It's not just to be out of pain. It was to be able to do circus arts again, because that's where I feel most myself and most free. But you kind of have to do some digging to get there first, right?
And oftentimes I feel like people, they don't really say these things out loud. And then sometimes they haven't even really thought about it. But then when they finally say it and it comes out of their mouth, it's almost like, oh my God, that is actually what I want. Like, anybody who's ever been to therapy before, your therapist is constantly asking you questions, question, 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 because it's this self-discovery that you're doing. And again, we're not therapists, but we ask you a fuck ton of questions for a reason, because it brings it out of you. And then you may or may not have already thought about this, but oftentimes I find with my clients, they haven't really thought about it.
Or
And then it comes out and they're like, oh, this is actually what I really want. And this is really why.
Or you don't think that it's possible. You don't think you're physically or emotionally yes. capable of doing something. So like, I think I mentioned it in the last podcast. When he asked that, what do you want? It took me a week.
To think about it. Yeah. Yeah, you
it took
did.
Me a full week. And he said, when I came back to tell him what it was, I looked like a child in a candy store. Because I was just
excited
so
about
excited
it.
Because I thought this was something like I'd never be able to do again. Like, what do you mean? You're about to be 35. You've had 3 kids, 2 C-sections, abdominal surgeries, and your spine is shit. Like, doing what I'm doing right now was something that I had told myself I would never be able to do again.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the same with anything for anyone, right? Like, it doesn't have to be as extreme as circus arts, right? Like, even just weight loss can feel like that for people because they've tried everything.
So
right?
many times they've tried. Yes.
And what are the labels that you've put on yourself? Right? Again, that perception is reality. What you tell yourself becomes real. People identify themselves as a dieter.
Yes. Yes. And a diet failure is the other thing that they're
looking at. But if you're a dieter, that means you can't see yourself as somebody who's not a dieter, as somebody who has reached their goal.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So in those initial conversations, I'm really listening to how they label themselves so that I know how to structure their coaching and the way that I'm going to talk to them and what we're going to work through, right? The hardest clients are the ones who in their mind know they have it all figured out.
Yes. Yes.
And you're like, oh, we got some work to do here.
Yes.
But then it's just, there's so many different ways to do nutrition. So I do nutrition. I do fitness, exercise programming and body image coaching. Mm-hmm. And it's not separated, right? It all goes together. We talk a lot about body image on our group calls, I think mostly, because I think that can be done a little bit easier group wise.
Sure. Yeah.
Whereas, unless it's something very private, mm-hmm. you know, that people want to talk about privately. Whereas nutrition, I personally think is the most important to do one-on-one for my clients.
I would agree.
Because I have clients, I would say almost all of my clients come from an eating disorder background.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just, it's so, the relationship with food is so complicated. And I'm of the belief that everybody needs to approach nutrition in a way that suits them. And there isn't a one size fits all approach.
Absolutely not. No. And then when you throw eating disorders in the mix, again, I don't work with people who currently have eating disorders because they should see a registered dietitian.
Go to practice.
Yes. For those of you who are listening and don't see this video,
it'll be on YouTube. You can go check it out on YouTube.
We drew out a scope of practice with our arms. Finding out what is triggering for people too, because if you're triggered, you're not going to make progress.
Yeah.
There was a time in my life when calorie counting would have been very triggering.
Yes.
I have a client. She had multiple eating disorders for many, many years. And she is just somebody who is never going to be able to count calories. And that's okay. That is perfectly okay. And any coach who tells you have to count calories or you're not going to see success is bullshit and you need to find
agreed. I 100% agree. Like, it doesn't mean that calories don't count for weight loss or correct. Weight maintenance or weight gain.
Physics,
it doesn't have, yes, facts over feelings, but it doesn't mean that it has to be the approach for you. And that's something definitely I completely agree with. And I preach to my clients all the time. Like, that's where the individualized approach comes in. For some people, tracking calories or macros works well. And for others, that's just not the approach for them.
And it's just figuring out in those initial weeks. I do a week zero before we really start, where we're just kind of figuring each other out, right?
Yeah.
Like, you figure the app out because technology is bullshit.
Yeah.
Take a week to do that. It's too much to be like, here, Monday, happy Monday. Here's an app and a workout plan and your
routine.
And it's like, oh, you have to give me a compliment every day too. Not me. Give me a compliment. Give yourself a compliment.
I need to hear it for myself.
Every client has to compliment me every day. No.
Who's really getting coached here?
One of my favorite ways to approach nutrition for people who cannot count calories for various reasons, and that is to say that just because somebody is triggered by calorie counting in the beginning doesn't mean that they don't move into calorie counting later, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Once they realize, this is why food and morality is so important as step one for me. Once they realize that there's no good food and bad food, a lot of clients are able to then track their calories.
Yes.
Because it becomes data.
Yes.
Definitely. But one of my favorite ways to coach nutrition is actually, we'll throw his name back in the ring, Jordan Syatt.
One of my favorite people in the world, man.
So I had a coach for years and years and years who actually did his mentorship in person with Jordan Syatt, like slept on his couch all summer.
Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, he's an amazing coach. But is the 3 plates, 2 snacks?
Yes, I implement that one with my clients too. Yep.
3 plates, 2 snacks. And I have cheeky clients who are like, but I can stack 30 Oreos on my hand. And I'm like, no, ma'am. Like, because your snack has to fit in the palm of your hand.
They're
like,
yes.
Watch how many Oreos. I'm like, no, it has to be like protein based and it has to like actually fit in the palm of your hand.
Yes.
And you know, some, and then it's tailoring it from there too, because 3 plates, 2 snacks wouldn't work for me. I hate breakfast. I don't like eating breakfast.
Yeah.
So I might need 2 plates, 3 snacks.
Yes, exactly. And I think that Jordan even makes that like known as like an accommodation.
And then his like, if you have 1 alcoholic beverage, remove a snack. 2 alcoholic beverages, remove a snack. 3, LOL, good luck. Like, it's just kind of like.
Yeah. You know? I mean, my audience is probably sick and tired of me preaching his stuff, but honestly, like,
it's true.
It's me too. He's one of my favorite people. It'd be my dream to one day have him on the podcast.
Maybe. I'll send that out.
I need to get, you know, more listeners.
I have my coach, my old coach, Nick Smoot, who knows Jordan Syatt. So I can maybe
I know for the longest time he was like, I'll go on anyone and anybody's podcast. He's like, I don't give a shit if it's your first podcast or your, you know, 1500th. But I think he scaled that back now. He said that it would just, he overcommitted himself and that he had to scale that back.
Now he has a small child and they're pregnant with baby number 2.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Like, I'm sure life's a little bit crazy.
It's a little bit busy. Plus, you know, running like multiple different businesses and stuff. He's probably pretty damn busy.
Amazing people. No, Jordan Syatt's amazing. I don't know that he's ever put anything out that I'm just like, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Like, almost everything he puts out, I'm like, no, he has a point. Like, that was a harsh way to put it, but he's got a point.
No, I totally agree. We're like, he generally hits the nail on the head with everything. Even same thing with like Lane Norton. Andrew Coates is another one. I don't know if you know who he is.
Yeah.
John talks about him a lot.
He liked one of my aerial hoop videos.
Did he really?
Oh, wow. Okay. So not my nutrition and health.
Yeah.
He liked my aerial hoop video. So
I haven't had a chance to meet him in person, but he is local to my area. Okay. And very well known in our area, but like we've chatted back and forth just on Instagram and he's like the nicest person.
Yeah.
And Bailey Lau, who was on my podcast previously, she works with him.
Okay. Yeah, people will like discount Lane Norton. I'm like, you know, he has his PhD in nutrition. Like, he's a doctorate.
A literal fucking doctor about this shit.
A literal fucking doctorate. Like, just because he's like buff and lifts heavy weights, just like you can be beautiful and you can be smart. You can be buff and you can be smart.
Like, yes, exactly. Well, yeah, I think a lot of people get that. Yeah. Especially like his comment section on Instagram and stuff like that. Like his comment section just like
I live for his comments. Whenever I'm having a hard time, I'm just like, let's go scroll Leighton Orton.
I need something to look at while I drink my coffee.
I am a sucker for chaos.
James Smith is another one. His comment section is always just like right lit up with insane people.
My goal is to have an account big enough one day that I just
I get so overwhelmed with it. I had like one video, didn't even go viral, but it got like, it was about intermittent fasting. And all the intermittent fasting bros came for me in the comment section. I was like, I can't handle this. I cannot handle this. Go fuck yourselves, intermittent fasting bros.
The problem is you're like, hey, I have a literal meta analysis here. Like I have actual research, right?
Yep.
That I'm going to show you about intermittent fasting. And they're like, no, bro.
Yeah. I offered, there was a couple of guys I got into arguments with and I was like, I will send you the research. I will send you the fucking articles. Like, I will send it to you. I will send you the studies. And they're like, no, they're bullshit. And I'm like, so my, like the studies that are, you know, out there about intermittent fasting that I have access to are bullshit. But your one study that you found from God knows where in the
desert. Done in a petri dish, by the way.
Like, in a petri dish on a mouse.
Or like nothing was controlled.
Yeah, an uncontrolled study that was done on a rat. Like, that's a legitimate fucking study.
Bro. Like, and don't but autophagy me, bro. Autophagy occurs in a calorie deficit regardless of when you eat. Like,
that's my favorite thing is when they bring that up. They're like, oh, I Googled this word and it sounds big and important. So and I'm going to use it in my argument.
I don't have my doctorate in nutrition. No, right? Like, but...
But I can see research and see the general overall consensus because I'm not fucking stupid.
And I follow the smart people, right? Like, I follow and listen to the people who put out the research. Like, I don't know if you listen to the Stronger by Science podcast.
I have, yeah.
Greg Knuckles, Eric Trexler, Dr. Helms. Like, they're the ones who put out Mass with Dr. Zordos. Sometimes my man Omar Issif. He's not actually my man, but in another world, he is. this is the point in the podcast where Ashley declares her love for Omar Eason. Okay. Like, they put out this research. They are doctorates in what they do. And, like, people still don't.
They still don't believe them because some fucking bro on TikTok said that you should eat bull testicles and use steroids. Allegedly.
But you should only do it during your non-fasting period.
Yes, only in your non-fasting period. Yes.
How did we get here?
I'm just tired of fucking people on the internet. I'm tired of people on the internet sometimes.
We're talking about Jordan's diet.
Yes.
But yeah, tailoring nutrition, exercise. I want people to always feel successful. Right? Because, again, most people who come to me have felt like failures.
Yes, because they have failed in their minds over and over.
Yeah. And the reality of it is the expectation was too high. You didn't fail, right? Like if I say I'm going to do 5 workouts every week, right? And my coach gives me 5 workouts a week. He wouldn't because he's a good coach and he knows I'm not going to do 5 workouts a week.
Same.
But if I'm prescribed 5 workouts a week, and I do 4, my brain doesn't go, wow, amazing, Ashley, you did 4 workouts. That's amazing. You made the time for your body for this week to do 4 workouts. It's you failed. You didn't do 5.
Yeah. Yes. That's such a backwards way of thinking.
And then you, sorry, I have Hello Kitty chopsticks now that I'm playing it. You failed.
People, go watch this on YouTube, I'm telling you. are those actually, like, I'm confused. Is it just, like, chopsticks shoved into, like, a Hello Kitty eraser? Or it's literally, like, Hello Kitty?
They're for toddlers to learn how to use chopsticks.
Okay, well, I'm a 32-year-old toddler that needs to learn how to use chopsticks.
I can send you some. Just send me your address. I think I have... Hold on. I have other ones down here too. Hold on. This is just my office, guys. This one actually has the handhold.
Oh, I totally need that. You should see me at restaurants when
yeah,
I go.
No, I lived in Japan. I the problem is my toddler's left-handed, so he can't actually use it.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, you would be ashamed and embarrassed by the white girl from Canada. Okay, it's just
I need to come. You need to come. Come take a Disney trip. We'll teach you how to use chopsticks.
I'm up for it.
Wrestle some gators.
Wrestle some fucking gators.
So expectations are so important, right? Yes. With everything we do in life, everything we do. So when I start with my women, I say, what can you promise me with 100% certainty, 100% certainty that you can do each week consistently?
Yes.
Not
this
week, not last week, not next week, every single week.
Yeah.
If you tell me that's one, we're doing one. There's no judgment here.
Yes.
Right. If I will say most people start with 2 20-minute workouts.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of my clients, that's what they start with. Yeah.
More, but it's enough to get that feeling of like, I succeeded. I did all my workouts. Now I have little bonus workouts. I'm like, hey, if you did your 2 workouts and you want to do some mobility work, you want to do some of this, like, here's some extra stuff for you to do.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it. You get a gold, you just get an imaginary gold star, a virtual gold star.
I sent one of my clients yesterday a gift because she messaged me. What did she message me? She's like, cause she's been struggling with protein intake. And it was like, I hit 75 grams of protein. And it was by like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. She's like, I hit 75 grams of protein. I want my fucking gold stars. I sent her a little
gift. Girl.
Here's your gold star.
And so, yeah, expectation, even with protein.
Yeah.
Right. Like the average woman is probably eating, I don't even want to say it, like 50 to 60.
Yeah, grams. I was going to say that's been my experience, is about 50 to 60 grams on average is where my clients
they
usually
think they're
come
eating
to.
A lot more.
Yes.
So if you have a client that comes in and you're like, wow, for your goals, you should be eating 140 grams of protein.
Right? That's so overwhelming. They automatically go, I can't do it. Like, that's so overwhelming. I can't
it's
do
it. It's overwhelming. They feel like they're failing. And you're going to be physically uncomfortable.
Yes.
That's a lot of, like,
a lot
of drive, because protein is the hardest macronutrient for our body to break down, right? Like, it takes the most energy to break down. I'm not saying it's hard to break down protein, but it takes the most energy for our body to break down. Your body's working harder. And you add 100 grams of protein. Be a bad time.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So then you probably do the same thing that I do. It's like, okay, we're gonna start with stepping stones. Let's get to 80 grams. Perfect. Let's get to 100 grams. Perfect. Like, and just slowly build it. Like, if most of my clients can eventually reach 100 grams of protein consistently, I'm fucking happy. Like, that's great, because when they start off with 50, that's a huge improvement.
And again, what's your goal? And the thing about, and this is why the education part is so important too, is like, people think that you should be eating more protein in a bulk phase, when in actuality, you need to be eating more protein in a weight loss phase.
Yes.
Right? Because when you're losing weight, we're going to talk about physics again, guys. Thermodynamics is coming back on the table. Your body is pulling energy, right? Because it's saying like, oh shit, like, you're not putting energy in. We still need energy, so we're going to pull it from somewhere. It does not care if it pulls it from fat or muscle.
Yep.
Your body doesn't care what your aesthetic goals are. Your body is not sitting here like, ooh, it's March. She's going to be on the beach soon. Yeah. Like, better pull from the fat, not the muscle. The way that we tell our body, pull from the fat and not the muscle, is two ways, right? Eat protein.
Mm-hmm. It's and lift weight. Yes.
Because it's signaling to your muscles like, oh, we're needed.
Yeah.
Take the fat.
Yeah,
That's why when we
exactly.
say weight loss doesn't really matter. Fat
Yeah.
loss matters.
Yes, and
Body.
that's something that I feel like a lot of people, this is where like getting so hung up on what the scale says really fucks with people because that's all that they care about, that's all that they see. They
Yeah.
don't see anything else. But I have had clients and probably and I imagine you have too. I've had clients where the scale has barely fucking budged. But because they're strength
Inches.
training
Inches.
and they like their progress photos, their inches, like crazy progress. The scale hardly moves and that totally fucks with them. Like I had a client yesterday, she was we were doing our check-in and we were chatting about her progress and it's true the scale has barely budged for her. But she's like, when I look at my progress photo, she's like, I'm seeing like my stomach is changing. I'm seeing like, you know, visible inches lost in other areas. She's like, but the scale hasn't changed. And I'm like, exactly. Who
It's
cares
so
then
weird. And
at this
I
point?
actually have found as women, and this is a whole podcast in and of itself, you know what I'm about to say too. As women approach menopause, I have found that the scale doesn't budge much.
No, not at all. Yeah.
But, and I'm not saying like it's not possible for the scale to budge, but I've noticed a trend of my, I'm not saying older clients, but like the clients that are closer to menopause. The ones that the scale doesn't budge much, but the inches just go. The inches fly away. Their progress pictures look amazing. And that's why I always say, like, I'm not a coach who says never get on the scale. I look at it as one form of
A
one
tool.
part of progress. It is a tool. And part of what I do is I actually have my clients, the clients that do weigh themselves. I have clients that don't because it's triggering, right? We
Same.
all want to be cognizant of that. But if you're going to weigh yourself, my advice is to weigh yourself every single fucking day. And then I have them give me the average for the week.
That's a good way of going about it. Yeah.
Because as women,
That number be changing.
from the day to day, our hormones are never the fucking same. Right? They're never the same. And that's going to reflect in on the scale, not because of fat, but because of estrogen and progesterone's effects on water retention.
Yes.
I got distracted by my chopsticks again for a second. I was like, what
That's
was I
okay.
talking about?
But no, it's so true. And that is something that really fucks with people's, like, especially women's minds, is like, okay, the scale was down yesterday and now it's up today. That means I lost progress. And it's like, no. Like,
Not to mention, if I have a really, really heavy lift day, like especially when I'm hitting heavy compound lifts, if I'm in the like below 4 rep range, I can be almost 10 pounds up the next day because of inflammation, repair, water retention, all of it. Because your body's repairing your muscles, right? I also have autoimmune disorders, so my body is kind of freaking out a little bit. It's like, why'd you just
Why
why'd you do that?
would you do that
And I'm like, it's good for you, I promise.
to
the bones will thank me.
Yeah.
So I do have my clients weigh themselves every single day, which is kind of shocking to most of my clients when they come on, because they're like, wait, I thought the scale was bad.
Yeah, same. A lot of my
But by
clients come on
the
with
end
that.
of the initial 12 weeks, they're able to look at the scale as data
Yeah.
because they will notice too that like that one time of the month where they're menstruating, they don't panic anymore when it goes up because they're watching the graph. It's like, okay,
Yes.
that's when I was on my period, and then it came back down, and then it went up, but it wasn't as high as the last time I was on my period.
Yeah.
When you're watching the average over time, which is so much more beneficial than
Yeah.
wherever you are on a Monday.
Yeah. And I always find like I'm a bit of a data nerd, so I love zooming out
I
like 6 months. Like I don't know if you use the Trainrise app or not, but that's what I use
do,
with my clients. Okay. I love looking at like the 6 month
yeah.
graph and it's just like dee, 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 it's all over the fucking place, but then you see a trend that it's going down over time and I'm like this is what I'm talking about when I say data collection because then you can see, yes, the day-to-day fuckery happens all the time, but then you zoom out and you look at that trend. And it's kind of the same thing with progress photos. Like people think that they're going to be seeing dramatic changes in their progress photos every month. You're not. Think of it as like those little flip books that you used to have. And it's like each picture is a little bit different. And as you flip through it quickly, you see the picture move. Same kind of thing with progress photos, where like not every month is going to be a dramatic change. But if you zoom back all the way to the beginning and compare yourself, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road, big changes. But those big changes happen with small little steps and small little increments.
And I don't know about you, but 99.9% of my clients initially don't want to take that first
photo.
And I'm like, you're going to thank yourself.
Yes. I literally had a discussion with a client this morning where she was like, I just don't know if I can do it. And I'm like, I know you don't think that you can do it, but a few months down the road, you're going to be grateful you did, especially if the scale isn't showing the progress that you want. And so, yeah.
I actually, I don't think I talked about that. You can stop me if I did talk about this on the last one, but I am going to start rolling into a year-long program where at the end I gift my clients a boudoir shoot.
Oh, I love that.
And I just had one done and I'm waiting for my pictures to get back. Can't wait.
I love that.
But it's such a like, imagine those before and afters. Not just because, not from a aspect at all, but just of a, like, the woman in that before picture couldn't even imagine herself being confident enough to take these pictures.
Yes. Yes. I love that.
I actually just did. I did it, a boudoir shoot in my aerial hoop too.
Did you really?
Like part of it was in the hoop.
Can you get, you don't have to share the posts of the pictures on social media, but I would love to see a couple of them privately. Yes. Yeah.
No, I'll post them and I'll tag you.
I support that, whatever.
It's just like, and the pictures are for me, right? They're for me because I've worked hard on my body and you should feel powerful and confident and strong in your body, regardless of what it looks like.
Yes, 1000%
Now, that being said, like having aesthetic goals is amazing, right? Like, and I almost pushed the shoot back because I was like, I don't look exactly how I want. Like, I don't I caught myself doing that. And I was like, I could lose a couple pounds. My stomach could be a little bit flatter. Like, and then I was like, no. And the photographer that I found said, what do you want people to feel when they see these pictures? The ones that I will post on social media. And I was like, I want other women to see these pictures and think, like, I want to feel this confident. I want to feel this powerful. Yeah. And I can do that and I can get there.
Yes.
And to me, that's what strength training has given me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I love that. I love that. And I mean, I've never taken boudoir photos myself. It's just, I'm super shy.
Our photo shoot, by the way.
Is it really? So I imagine, like, I mean, you get over your shyness very, very quickly. But like, yeah, that's so incredible. I love that.
Well, and the great thing is, like, you can wear whatever you want. Like, I'm not gonna call it a boudoir shoot. I think I'm gonna call it an empowerment shoot.
Yeah.
Because you can wear whatever you want. Like, I'm a like fantasy nerd. Like, romanticy nerd, and I brought like a fairy dress too. Like, I have this really, like, you know, so you wear whatever you want, wear what makes you feel powerful.
Yeah I love that. That's super cute.
That's what being a woman is.
Yeah, I love that so much. Well, Ashley, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. And again, just for those who maybe didn't listen to the previous one, but if you haven't, you should definitely go listen to the other the part one. For those who haven't yet followed you or found you, where can people find you and what do you have going on for your own training, programming, things like that right now?
Yeah, so you can find me on Facebook, Ashley Rogers. It's Ashley Rogers Level Up is my little thing. You can link it. Yeah. For Instagram, it is Level Up Strength is my tag. And then I do have some client spots opening within the next couple of weeks for my Strong as a Mother method, which is a 12-week program. And I mean, we talked about it for an hour now, so you should know what I do, hopefully, by this point.
Yes.
Helping women get stronger, feel powerful, and have more energy to do the things that make you feel powerful.
Amazing. I love it so much. Okay, go find Ashley on the Instagram and on the Facebook. Thank you so much, Ash. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.